let's learn about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. A couple of just basic ideas and a little Jewish. First thing is the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Is there such a mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah deraisa to live in Eretz Yisrael? So it comes from the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Parshas Maaseh, Perek Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Nun Gimel. Let me go back one pasuk. I'll go back two pasukim. Dabri Abnei Yisrael v'amarta alehem ki atem oivim es hayardin al Eretz Kanaan. You're now coming, you're passing the Yardin, and you're coming into Eretz Kanaan. V'hoirashtem es kol yoshve aretz mipneichem, and you will possess the entire inhabitants of the land in Mipneichem, the Badim is called Maskio, some is called Tlamasech, or some Tabedu, the is called Bomosom Tashmidu. You shall conquer the land and you shall destroy the idols, all the various types of idols. Pasik Nun Gimel, this is the critical Pasik. The Hoirashtem es Oretz Vishaftem Bo. And you shall inherit the land. You shall inherit the land, possess the land, vishavtem bo, and live in the land. Ki lochem nosati es aretz l'oresha, so I've given you the land to possess. What does this pasuk mean? So let's learn Rashi, and let's learn the Archaim and the Ramban, three mefarshim, to understand exactly what this pasuk means. Pasuk Nun Gimel and Rashi, I'm reading you the words of Rashi. Let me just go back one pasuk. Pasuk Nun Beis, where the pasuk began by telling Bnei Yisrael v'hoi rashtem, Rashi there translates the word v'hoi rashtem v'gei rashtem. You shall drive them out. So again, the sequence is pasuk nun aleph. You're going to cross over the Yarden. Pasuk nun beis v'hoi rashtem. According to Rashi, v'gei rashtem. You will drive out eskol yoshei haretz mipnechem because of you. When you enter, they have to be driven out. And then the pasuk goes on to say you will destroy all of their idols. Pasuk nun gimel v'hoi rashtem es haretz. So again, Rashi translates the word v'hoirashtem here the same as he did in Pasuk Nun Beis. You will drive out the inhabit. You will drive out oisam yoshveha, the inhabitants from their dwelling places. Oz, then v'shavtem bo. After you will drive them out, then I'm promising you, v'shavtem bo, tuchlu l'hiskayim bo, you'll be able to exist in the land, but v'imlaf loy tuchlu l'hiskayim bo. So again, according to Rashi, v'hirashta means you will drive out the inhabitants of the land, and then you will be able, you will succeed in living in the land. So Rashi was doing this, he's taking away from the pasuk the command to live in the land. Let me emphasize that by reading you the words of the Arachayim, because Rashi is a little bit vague. Arachayim, the Hirashtem, I'm reading from the words of the Rashi. Rashi Zal, Perasha, Mitzvah Hi V'Hirashtem. The only mitzvah the Torah gives us with regard to Eretz Yisrael is to drive out the enemies. There's a land. The land is occupied by the seven nations of Canaan. Get rid of them. That's the mitzvah.
And then
what? Nothing. Avol vishavtem. But when it says the next words of the pasuk vishavtem, which simply means you shall live in the land, it's a command. Live, inhabit the land. According to Rashi, avol vishavtem, he, according to Rashi, is... What happened to the Arachayim? Haftocha is a promise. It's not a command. It's an incredible Rashi. It's a very basic thing that we live in Eretz Yisrael. We have to know the basics. Rashi, according to Rashi, the way the Arachayim learns Rashi, nowhere in the Torah is there a mitzvah saseh for us to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's an awesome chiddush. To say this is shocking. To say such a thing after everything that we've been through, and after the whole foundation of Yadus, this is built in Eretz Yisrael, according to Rashi, the way the Orachaim, reading you the words and not my words, it's a promise. Get rid of the seven nations of Canaan. And if you will get rid of the seven nations of Canaan, then you will be successful in living in the land. But if you don't get rid of them, and you try to live there in the land, you're going to be influenced by their avodah zarah, by their evil ways, and you're going to follow their evil ways, and you're going to sin, and then you're not going to be successful. And Hashem says, "I'm going to drive you out. I'll get rid of you." So I'm not anywhere in my Torah, Hashem, saying, giving you a command, a mitzvah. There are mitzvahs, tayag mitzvahs. You have to wear tefillin. You have to wear tzitzis. You're not allowed to eat. I'm giving you a mitzvah, tid matzah. I'm giving you a mitzvah to do the hashmat as ksafim. I'm not giving you a command to live in Eretz. There's no obligation.
If he drives you out, Hashem drives you out, then he's making sure that you can follow the mitzvah.
No, so then you're not going to be able to do those mitzvahs. Right. So, but it's that. What does that mean? What did you just say? That living in the Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah in and of itself. It's only a hechsher mitzvah. You put yourself in a situation so you can fulfill about half the mitzvahs of the Torah. Not half, but all of the mitzvahs of the Torah that are tluyos parts. If you want to be able to mekayim the mitzvah of Shemitah and of Meiser and of all of the mitzvahs are tluyos parts, you got to live in the land. You got to live in the land. You got to possess the land. But living in the land itself, that's not a mitzvah. When you go and you buy a deer in Eretz Yisrael, according to Rashi, simply you're not mekayim. There's no mitzvah. You're not mekayim. There's no bracha. If it would be a mitzvah, you make a bracha. Asher kedeshan b'mitzvah sivanu l'shaftem ba. A mitzvah of living in the land. Rashi, the way the Orach Chaim explains very clearly, he takes these words, v'hayrashtem es haaretz, you will possess the land. Possess the land, it's a very hard word. The word v'hayrashtem is a very confusing word, because in Pasuk Nun Beis, Rashi clearly translates the word v'hayrashtem to mean you'll drive out. You'll drive out es kol yoshvei haaretz mipneichem. Because of you, because you are coming there, they have to leave. Then when we have the word Pasuk Nun Gimel V'hayrashtem, it doesn't seem to mean exactly the same thing. It means V'hayrashtem, you will now possess. You'll possess the land. You'll possess the land because you have driven out, being that you have driven out the nations of the dissemination, so now you'll be able to possess the land, and now that you've gotten rid of them, you've driven them out, you will be successful. V'shaftem bo, it's a haftacha, it is a promise. The Ramban, let's see, the Ramban strongly disagrees with Rashi. It's a very yisoidistik halacha, Rashi Ramban. Let me read the words of the Ramban. Al daiti, according to Rashi, according to Ramban, the words of Rashi Masarvus Yishavtem Bo Ki Elochem Masati Yisarvus Lavesh Asa Al Dati Zo Mitzvas Asehi. According to the Ramban, the word Vishavtem is not a promise that if you will get rid of the Goyim, then I promise you, you will succeed, you'll be able to live in the land in safety and security, you'll not do any Averus. No, get rid of them, and I'm giving you now one of the Tayag Mitzvos of live in the land. Just live. Just living in the land and not being mekayim any one of the tayag mitzvos is a mitzvah in and of itself. Al dati zo mitzvahs asehi yitzave oisam. Hashem told Moshe, command the Jewish people, sheyeshvu ba'aretz, they shall live in the land. The yirshu oisa ki hi nosno lahem, it's been given to them, v'lo yim asu benachlas Hashem, and don't reject the inheritance of Hashem. Don't make a mistake and you go conquer other lands. No, that's incorrect. Okay, and he goes on to make it very clear. What's going on? That this is a mitzvah of mitzvah. Then at the end of this Ramban, he says, "Avul Rashi perish." I acknowledge that Rashi says, "Vayrashim esaretz, vayrashim osam yeshvech." Oz vishavtem ba tuchlu lehiskayim ba v'imlav loy tuchlu hiskayim ba umashe perash nuchu ha'ikar. The Ramban says that what I say is right. Okay, so this is a very, just to be aware of this basic yisoy, we'll go a little further one moment. We have a pasik lin gimel, v'hayrashtem es aretz, which we have to translate to mean drive out the 90 nations, and thereby possess the land, and then v'shaftem bo. big, big question mark what these two words mean. According to Rashi, with the clarification of the Or HaChaim, it's a promise. If you will get rid of them, then when you will attempt to live in the land in peace and security, you will succeed. But if you let them live there in the land alongside you, you will be influenced by their evil ways, and you will not have any security, you will not have this promise. But nowhere am I telling you to do. If you don't want to live in the land, gezunt heit, so go to America, go to Europe, go wherever you want to go. If you don't want to live in the land, I'm just telling you, if you want to live in this land, there's a prerequisite to get rid of the nations, the Canaanite nations. The Ramban disagrees with Rashi b'shtei yodayim. The word v'shavtem bo is not a promise, it is a mitzvah d'oraisa to live in the land. Virtually all of the poskim tell us the ikar is like the Ramban. We pass like the Ramban. The mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah in and of itself. It's a very big nafkamina, because Bizman Hazel, most of the mitzvahs of Tlius Ba'aretz, we don't have. Because there's no Beis HaMikdash, the majority of Klal Yisrael is not living there, so the only reason why you're living in the land is to be able to do the mitzvah of Tlius Ba'aretz. We don't really have the mitzvah of Tlius Ba'aretz in the full degree, because of the situation of Beis HaMikdash, and because of we don't have the majority of Klal Yisrael living there.
Okay, so maybe the mitzvah of living is linked to the people who are going to kick out those people. That generation, if they kick out the goyim from Israel,
yeah,
they have to live.
Doesn't say this pasuk is addressing those people, and that's a machlokes between Rashi and Rabban. Rashi says that even those people have no obligation to do so. So certainly not us. According to Rabban, everyone has a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Now the big issue is the Rambam, because now there are many of the Rishonim codified the Taryag mitzvahs. All we have is a tradition that there are 613 mitzvahs. That's all we have. Even that's controversial. That's a medrash. It appears that not every earliest source agrees that there are exactly 316 mitzvahs. We follow the sheep, 630 mitzvahs. There's a Gemara, it's a Talmud Bavli, and the Talmud Bavli, the Rishonim Osav Yishavtim, this is Chavav. It's not telling you to do it, just telling you a fact. It's not a command. This pasuk is not a command. It's telling you, if you'll come to the land which I've given you and you will possess it, and you start to sin, then you're in trouble. It's not a mitzvah. This is a statement.
That's how he
interprets. No, he's talking about a pasuk in Kisavo. He's calling into a pasuk. Okay. Now, here's the issue. The Rambam, now, again, we have a Gemara. The Gemara tells us that there are tayag mitzvahs. The Gemara is one of two opinions. Either there are tayag or there's not. We're brainwashed from our childhood that there are tayag mitzvahs. Okay, very good. Let's assume that to be correct. Along comes the smag, Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, there's a smack, Sefer Mitzvahs Ketanos, and there's the Chinuch, and there's a whole long list of Rishonim. Wow, there is such a tradition. It's in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us this very nice number, which every child knows, that there are 613 mitzvahs. Let's open up a Chumash, and let's figure out what are the Tayag mitzvahs. And lo and behold, everyone has a different way of calculating the tayag mitzvahs. You can break up one mitzvah into multiple mitzvahs, you can include it. So it's a science. It's a major science of how to take the Torah and break it down into 613. The Rambam joins in the battle, and he also has Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he breaks up the Torah into 613 mitzvahs. What is shocking is that the Rambam, unlike his contemporaries and others who have come and also broken up, does not list the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tayag mitzvahs.
He just said that
what?
The Rambam.
Rambam. The Mem. Rambam. Rambam. So what in the world is going on? So on a very simple level, many would want to say is that the Rambam is following the Shita of Rashi. Like it was following Rashi's approach that the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not in it of itself a mitzvah, it's just a prerequisite in order to allow us to do other mitzvahs. Just like getting married. According to many opinions, getting married is not a mitzvah. When you get married to the chuppah, you go to a wedding, is that a mitzvah? Are you allowed to have a wedding in a shul? Not necessarily, because getting married is only a hechsher mitzvah. It's a prerequisite to the kind of the mitzvah of having children. When the baby comes out of the mother's womb, presto, you are now a kind of the mitzvah of having having a child. But everything until that point in time is not, is only a prerequisite. Coming and living and possessing the land is not in and of itself a mitzvah, it's just a prerequisite. Therefore, the Rambam does not count it. That's one very similar way to understand Pshat in the Rambam. That's one approach. The other approach, just let me, if I can find quickly some other approach, but there's one approach that I find very appealing and that I want to present to you, and that is the approach. I saw this somewhere, is that if you look very carefully, when the Rambam begins the mitzvahs, Sefer Mitzvahs, he says these are the mitzvahs which we were commanded by Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, an incredible chiddush, incredible, opens up a whole new world to understanding Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. When the Gemara tells us that there are Tayag mitzvahs, who gave us those Tayag mitzvahs? Moshe Rabbeinu. But there's another mitzvah, mitzvah 614, that was given to us by the Avos. So there's mitzvahs of Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's a mitzvah that was given to us by Hashem through the Avos, by the Bris Ben Habsarim, from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, go lech lecha me'artzcha, me from the very beginning of the history of Klal Yisrael, me melatcha, me basically hello, Eretz Hashareka. I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. Hashem shows Eretz Yisrael, tells him to possess it, make a chazaka. Hashem promises Yitzchak, Hashem promises Yaakov. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, you are being mekayim a mitzvah, v'shaftem ba, not because Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemana and brought down the Luchos, the Aseres Adilos, and gave you the mitzvah. You are being mekayim a mitzvah on an entirely different level midin the Avos. And it's very meduic in the words of the Rambam, because when the Rambam begins to count the Tayag mitzvos, these, he emphasizes, these are the mitzvos which Moshe Rabbeinu has commanded us. It's specifically from the chain of Moshe and Matan Torah. But there's a mitzvah which comes before Matan Torah, the mitzvah of taking possession of Eretz Yisrael, which comes from the Avos. So it, not only is it a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah in a different league. So here we have over here, maybe you learn a little pshat in the pasuk like Rashi, but does not take away from the fact that indeed it is a mitzvah. It's a different, it's a more chashuv mitzvah, in fact, because it's a mitzvah where we connect ourselves to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That is one approach. I always found that approach to be very satisfying.
What's the difference between me or Shafta or Mishafta? It's the same with it, it's plural.
I don't know there, but this is the Machlokes Rashi and Ramban, how to translate these words. That also, I'll tell you another idea which a little disturbing, which shook me up a bit, is that some of Hashem wanted to learn the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael is not counted by the Rambam as one of them, is because it's a mitzvah tamidis. It's not another approach. You only count the Rambam, only counting Tayag mitzvahs that you do once. You do every occasion, you occasionally. You have mitzvah when this man arrives, when it's morning, put on tefillin, you do it. But something which is 24/7 is not called a mitzvah. It's the way of life. It's a different level. It's when it's constant. This is where you live. This is your land. This is your country. Eretz Yisrael. A mitzvah to me, this is not something which is something which you do occasionally. Those are tayag mitzvahs.
All the time.
It's a different category. It's that when the Gemara says there are tayag mitzvahs, it means things which, when the time arrives, when the situation is right, then you do the mitzvah. Something which you do all the time, that is not something which the Rambam counts as one of the tayag mitzvahs. Yeah, exactly. All of these answers come to explain to us that these are super mitzvahs. Now, in that approach, there's another approach. Is that in Achanami, the Rambam, you can learn the Rambam, or you can learn like Rashi, that there's no question it's a mitzvah. It's a wonderful thing to do to live in Eretz Yisrael without getting involved in all the spiritual milas of living in Eretz Yisrael. Avir Eretz Yisrael Machim, and it's the Kedusha with the Avasar, and it's the Shechina is resting in Eretz Yisrael. But the Torah is not forcing you to do it, but if you do it, you certainly get reward. But let me give you an example, and this the disturbing part of the example is tzitzis. Is there any obligation to wear tzitzis? No. The mitzvah is, if you happen to be wearing a garment that has four corners, then put on tzitzis. But if you don't want to wear a garment of four corners, you have no obligation. No one's going to hold you accountable. Eretz Yisrael is also, in a way, is similar to tzitzis. And in fact, we do compare. We compare tzitzis to Yisimos, so Zechaitim, the Meraglim. There's a lot of references to Yisimos, so the Meraglim, Eretz Yisrael, and tzitzis. But the idea is that Hashem did not give us a commandment to live in Eretz Yisrael like that. But if you happen to take advantage of the situation and you live in Eretz Yisrael, every single moment you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you are definitely Mekayim the Mitzvah. You are Mekayim a Mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Even according to Rashi, that says that there is no commandment. You don't have to do it. It doesn't mean that Rashi holds all living in Eretz Yisrael, you don't get any credit. There's no mile. Chas v'shalom. Even according to Rashi, Hashem is not requiring you, forcing you to do so. But if you will do so, you will go through the extra effort, besides all of the spiritual benefits you have, but that you're living there, you now get the mitzvah. It's not like other mitzvahs which you have to do. You have no choice. Pick yourself up and do the mitzvah. Lulav and Esrog, you have no choice. Pick yourself up and go get yourself a little bit of Esrog and shake it. Eretz Yisrael, I'm not requiring you, but if you happen to go to Eretz Yisrael, you're getting out of it. And what's the scary part? So the Mefarshim goes a step further. They tell us when it comes to tzitzis, we have a concept that Hashem tells us, listen, tzitzis, you don't have to do tzitzis. You don't have to. Don't do tzitzis. Don't wear a garment of four corners and you don't have to wear tzitzis. But I want to warn you one thing, that if I get angry at you, if you live a whole life and you're a tzaddik and you don't make any trouble, okay, so good, you got away with it. But if you are trouble, if you cause me aggravation, you do averus, and you get me angry, and I have to punish you, I'm going to punish you for not observing the mitzvah of tzitzis. Scary. You don't have to do it. You don't got to do tzitzis. But if b'shas rischa, when I get angry, you did not put yourself in a situation where you had a garment of four corners to mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis, you're going to be punished. Eretz Yisrael is the same thing. You don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael. V'shaftem bo haftacha. It's a promise. If you get rid of the goyim, then I'll give you a haftacha, you'll be successful. But I'm not forcing you. But watch out. Make sure everything is good. Because if you are not 100% where you're holding and I get angry, b'shas rischa, I will punish you for not making yourself, taking advantage of the situation, I mean, mekayim, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's a fascinating insight into the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. We have to remember, not every great mitzvah does Hashem force us to do. There's a psychology. For example, the classic example is the Akedah, the 10th of Nisayin, the greatest Nisayin of the Akedah. Hashem, according to most Mefarshim, did not force Avraham to do the Akedah. Kach no, es pinchas yichidcha asher ahavta, ein no, elo loshen bakosha. Avraham, if I'm telling you, I'm giving you a mitzvah. Take your son Yitzchak, offer him as a sacrifice. But you don't have to. If you want, do it. If you don't want, don't do it. I'm not forcing you. Because Avraham Avinu took advantage of the situation and he was mekayim the mitzvah, we have today everything that we have. Comes from the 10th son of the Akedah. The Akedah is the greatest chus for Klal Yisrael. He took advantage, he seized the moment. He made use. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is the same thing. Hashem is telling you, I'm giving you the ultimate mitzvah. Live in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't want, so don't. I'm not going to hold you accountable. It's like the Akedah in a certain way. But we have to remember, it's like the Akedah, and it's like tzitzis. If you do have the opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael, live in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to. And if you don't, I'm not going to hold you responsible. But watch out. Make sure everything else in your life is in order. Because if you get me angry, and it's a time of anger, not only will I punish you for your sins, I will punish you for not being mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Scary stuff.
It's an opportunity.
Right. A missed opportunity HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds us responsible for, and the classic example is the mitzvah of tzitzis, b'shas rischa, Hashem punishes us for not fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so these are the basic yisoidos. I don't know if you have two more things I want to tell you very quickly, but these are the basics to review. We have a pasuk in Parshas Masai, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasik Nun Gimel. This is the Pasik, the Hirashtim Esaretz, that definitely is a mitzvah saseh to get rid of the seven nations of the world, of Eretz Canaan. And then the big question mark is Vishavtem Ba. Is this a promise or is this a mitzvah?
Why am I getting rid of them? In other words, if I'm not...
Because you want to live there. If you want to live there. Yeah, if, according to the Rashi...
Take the opportunity.
Don't go there.
I can
good.
Leave
exactly. Leave them there. Exactly. Exactly. No.
That to get rid of them.
No, if you want to live there. If you don't want to live there, don't live there. Go live in America. But if you do want to live in Eretz Yisrael, you better make sure you get rid of them.
And if I don't want to live in Israel... I have no
here. No. According to Rashi, it appears not. Correct. Correct. According to Rashi, there's no purpose. There's no. According to Rashi, that would be the simple interpretation of the pasuk. If you don't want your own homeland, you want to live in another country, you want to live as a guest, someone else, so don't bother. But if you want to live in Eretz Yisrael, I'm giving you permission to live there. And the first Rashi in the Torah, I created the world. I gave it to who I wanted to, and I tell whoever I want to leave, and you want to live there, don't live with them side by side. Get rid of them. Because if you don't get rid of them, Pasuk says you're going to be led astray, you're going to worship their idols, you're going to marry their daughters, it's going to be trouble. But and if you'll get rid of them, then Hashem says you will succeed. Am I telling you to do this? No. If you want, you could. If you don't want, you don't have to. That's according to Rashi. The Ramban cannot disagree more with Rashi. Ramban says no such thing. You must live there in the land. Ramban, seemingly on a very similar level, learns like Rashi, that's not counted in the Tayag Mitzvahs. We have many Mahalchim to end some shot in the Ramban. In the Rambam, either Rambam learns that there's Tayag Mitzvah from Moshe, and the Mitzvah of Yishuv is the Mitzvah of Yishavtem Bo, but it comes primarily from the Ovois. Or we can learn, the Rambam learns that it's an all-inclusive Mitzvah, because it's Todir, it's non-stop. Or we can learn that even the Rambam agrees, the Ramban, even Rashi will all agree that there's a Mitzvah, just that it's not a Mitzvah Chiyuvis. If you do it, but when you get into that approach of it being a mitzvah which you don't have an obligation to do, it's like tzitzis. And if it's like tzitzis, watch out. If you don't take advantage, you're going to get into a lot of trouble. Yeah.
According to the Rambam,
yeah,
it's a super mitzvah.
Yeah.
But the super mitzvahs are not in the count of the Taryag mitzvahs.
Correct. Correct. The Tayag Mitzvos is a very bizarre concept. The one who taught me this idea, your rabbi, Rabbi Feivel Reis, Secher Levracha, he once gave a shir, and he opened up this whole idea. I always thought Tayag Mitzvos. Tayag Mitzvos. It's like, no, to say that it's not, it's apikursis. If you hold this, not Tayag Mitzvos.
Why? Some people say that the Rambam, it's a machlokes. Some people say pshtus, that it didn't happen. The Rambam wrote and signed all his letters. That he was a chayte.
He was living in Mitzrayim, right?
Right, and some say that's a lie.
That's why it wasn't sure. Right.
It,
yeah,
so,
but this idea that there are Tayag Mitzvos, it's in the Gemara, and all of the money Hamitzvos, the Chinuch and the Smag and the Rambam, they all work with it. It's a chiddush.
They don't agree which one.
They don't agree on how to categorize the Tayag Mitzvos. And the biggest hot issue is Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam does not include in the list, and that's the issue. Why not? So you can learn that, because Rashi, the Rambam learns like the simple interpretation of Rashi, which is shocking. Or you can learn that no, it's such a chashuv mitzvah, it's above and beyond the Tayag Mitzvahs. Or others, one thing that others say is the Rambam was only counting the Tayag Mitzvahs is a dynamically changing type of mitzvahs, which the Rambam you can categorize in different ways depending on the times. Very, very b'chiddush. And being that the Rambam is counting the mitzvahs in Galus, he's not counting mitzvahs for all the mitzvahs. The Rambam is writing in time of Golus, and in time of Golus there was no Eretz Yisrael, and that's a very complicated type of approach how to finesse what exactly it means. Okay, but let's go. I want to go to some other ideas. There's a very beautiful idea from Rav. I believe it's from Shlomo Zalman Arbach Zechzarek Levracha. Shlomo Zalman Arbach says there are two mitzvahs. There are two mitzvahs which you mekayim with your entire body. In other words, you mekayim with your boots. I think that's the way with the boots. Sukkah on Eretz Yisrael. When you go into the sukkah, when you take a lulav esrog, so which part of your body is mekayim the mitzvah of that lulav esrog? Your hands. Right? You take your hands, you shake it. When you eat matzah, which part of your body is mekayim the mitzvah of matzah? Your mouth. When you think of a mitzvah tefillin, your arm and your head. But when you mekayim the mitzvah of living in a sukkah, which part of your body is mekayim the mitzvah? The whole body, even your boots, even the mud on your boots goes into the sukkah, right? It's mekayim the mitzvah. What other mitzvah you mekayim with your entire body? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, even more than sukkah. You go in there with your possessions. Every single essence of your body, of your possessions, of your essence goes into Eretz Yisrael. So Shlomo Zalman Arbach says as follows. So let's look at these two. These are the only two mitzvahs in the whole Torah that you mekayim with everything you got. Everything. Your whole body goes into the land, goes into the sukkah. When it comes to sukkah, there's a concept called taseh v'loy min ha'osri. If you have a sukkah, and the sukkah was made shaloy l'shem sukkah, and now you come into the sukkah, you mekayim the mitzvah. I've come into the sukkah, but I did not make the sukkah l'shem sukkah. The sukkah was built as a watchman's hut. It was built. It was a watchman. It was a hot day. He put up some walls. He put up some schach. He did. It was the summer. He wanted to shelter himself. Now it comes the fall. I want to use this watchman's hut as a sukkah. Oh, perfect. So I'll go in there. I'll go l'shem. Is it a kosher sukkah? Absolutely not. It was not built l'shem mitzvah sukkah. This is called taseh v'loy min ha'osri. Make it, and you may not fulfill the mitzvah, something which already was made for you. So Shlomo Zalman will say something which is awesome. This is the most Zionistic word I ever in my life heard. Probably ever will hear. So he says, just like when it comes to the din of Yishuv Eretz, now that we've created a link, we've created a similarity between these two ideas, just like when it comes to sukkah, there's a mitzvah of taseh v'loy min ha'osri. When it comes to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so'ichin a din of taseh v'loy min ha'osri. What do you people in America think? Oh, you'll stick it out in America for another couple of years, and all of a sudden Mashiach will come. Ah, Mashiach is here. It's a beautiful Eretz Yisrael. The land has been developed. There are jobs. There's yeshivas. There's an economy. Everything is... I'll come. I'll arrive in Eretz Yisrael. I'll buy a deer and I'll live here. You're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael because it was all done for you. It's all osui. It's been done for you. If you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it has to be taseh. You have to be a participant in the creation of the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
If you're born there, then you're not involved in creation. If Abraham was sent, his mitzvah was to go to Israel and live there. But if you're born in Israel, then you're not involved.
No, I mean, just being born is not enough. You have to be participant in the economy and developing and doing things and living there and establishing it on the map. It's an incredible vart, incredible insight from a godless, an incredible vart. Review the vart. These are two mitzvahs which you do with your entire essence. So there's a similarity, there's a linkage. They're connected. And by sukkah, Chazal emphasizes you have to build the sukkah. You can't be mekayim the mitzvah by coming into a pre-existing sukkah. Every person on his personal level cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael by coming into a pre-existing Eretz Yisrael. In order to mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael requires you to actively do something in Eretz Yisrael that enhances, that develops the country. To live off the fat of the land of Eretz Yisrael is not... The Tar is not a keem of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You have to participate in building Eretz Yisrael.
Agree in Zionism.
The Shlomo Zalman Arbach Zionism. From a religious source.
Someone else's sukkah and you didn't have anything to do with it?
The sukkah was built. It's a drush. Okay, you're saying good, but he's saying you're taking it to the full extent of the idea. He's saying something very powerful. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not just, I'm going to come live in an established. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael means more. It means to build, to develop Eretz Yisrael, to come to Eretz Yisrael, to live there and be part of it, be part of the experience. Fascinating idea. Okay, now one more idea before we run out of time. This is another very powerful. Now, this idea is a controversial idea. That's what controversial. It's all how you develop. You can get into a lot of trouble with what I'm going to tell you, or you can say you can develop it. Whatever, by Mayevsky, you'll know how to properly develop it to the right audience. To the right audience, you develop this idea. But I think there's something very, very deep. And this day, we didn't discuss. Notice we did not discuss that issue at all today. Now here is an idea from Rabbi Moshe Wolfson in the Sefer Tzion V'Ariacha. This Sefer, someone came along and took all of his sarm. He's a very great Oyhev Eretz Yisrael, very great religious Zionist, Rabbi Wolfson, if you can say that term reference to him. And someone took from all of his sarm, he was malakit, everything he ever wrote about Eretz Yisrael, and put it into a separate volume called Tzion V'Ariacha. So it's broken up by cities, all different cities of Eretz Yisrael. It's very powerful Jewish machshava, Musar, very heavy duty things. In the Hagdamah, he says the following. Now it's extracted. It's nothing to do with anything specific, but he mentions that we have in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos the Lamed Tes Melachos, and the Lamed Tes Melachos begin. Says the first melacha is let me find it somewhere here. I want to read you exactly what it says. Oh, here it is. Okay, let me read you. It's a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel. The Mishnah says, "Avos melachos arbohim chos achas." And I want to warn you, I don't mean to say this idea in the wrong way. So, disclaimer, don't hold me responsible for saying the wrong thing. Chas v'shalom. I only mean to say good things, not to antagonize anyone or to say it any evil way. But it says there, Tnan Osam, Ovos Melochos Arbom Chosrachas. There are 39 Ovos Melochos. The way Chazal referred to the Melochos, 40 minus 1. A very bizarre way of describing them at 39. As a mathematician, is that how you would describe them at 39? 39 is 40 minus 1. Okay. And then it goes on to list, to enumerate the melachas. What's the first melacha? Hazoireya, planting. Planting is number one. Number two, hachoiresh, plowing. It's the second melacha of the 39 melachas. V'chulu, the Mishnah goes on, describes the process of preparing bread and the process of preparing clothing, all the different types of the 39 melachas. But the first is planting, and the second melacha derives is plowing the earth. The Gemara, shortly after the Mishnah, has asked the question, Hikshasham the Gemara, Ha Charshin Lifnei Hazriya, V'havile Lemisne Choresh V'hoda Zareya. In the process of agriculture, what do you do first?
First you plow,
and then you seed. So why does the Mishnah say first Zareya Charshin? Very similar question of the Gemara. V'tirtzu, the Gemara answers, Tana, the Tana of the Mishnah was living in Eretz Yisrael. Be'eretz Sholkoi, Shemachma Shakarka Kosha, the earth is very hard. Tzorich Lachresh Gam Achar Hazriya. You have to plow twice. You have to plow before you seed, and then you have to plow after you seed. So we only can list plowing once. So which is the more Kosha of the plowing? So being that there's a plowing which comes before you see the plowing that comes after, the Tana felt that it was more appropriate to focus on the second plowing. Since anyway you're going to plow twice, because the second plowing is closer to bringing the seed to its growth, to its development. And anyway we're going to mention plowing, so we would rather discuss plowing already when the seed's in the ground than discussing plowing when there are no seeds in the ground. Okay, so that's the Gemara's answer. Ulefizes, or Rav Wolfson writes, now I understand why the Mishnah says this unusual number, 40 minus 1. Ulefizes, Yisyashem, reading what he says, Gamma, Denokana Mishnah, Loshon, Arbom, Chazarachas. Kibiem, Esyesh, Arboim. The truth is, there are 40 acts of labor. The first act of labor is plowing before the seeding. Then comes seeding. Then comes plowing after. So the truth is you can break up plowing into two. So the Tana alludes to this by using the number 40 minus 1. Because really, there are 40. There's 40. There are two types of plowing. There's a plowing before, and there's a plowing after. But being that both types of plowing are in the same category, and technically speaking, we can only hold you responsible for one, so we reduce 40 down to 39, but we want to allude, at least to be merames, that there's another plowing. So that's why we say 40 minus 1.
Ki
Shayim Shavin. Umisva Shalar Boim Khasrachasi Al Ha Akarbanos, you only can be chayef for the karbanos 39, fine. B'nimsa sheyesh ar boim malachas, aval lamites karbanos sharei shtei achavitra seim ve'el machas. So now I want to say is a little bit of a drush. It's an Eretz Yisrael, Tana be'eretz, an Eretz Yisrael. In the development of the land, there's a double harisha. There's a harisha that comes before the seeding, and there's a harisha that comes after. Now you can interpret this and you can develop this in many, many ways. Let's say you want to say the seeding is the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach comes, right? Mashiach comes. It's going to be a different world. We have no idea what it's going to be. There's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. The whole world's going to stream to Eretz Yisrael. The whole world, the Zeru Lechem, it's stuck. There are many psukim which describe the development of the land as seeding. What's happening today in Eretz Yisrael? What's the entire development of history since the Churban Beis HaMikdash happening? This is the Harisha Koidem V'Zuriya. The Harisha Koidem V'Zuriya is a Malach, meaning it's just as significant. It's just as significant as all the Lamites Malachas represent creative labor. The Lamites Malachas represent the labors which HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. It represents the sum of all creativity of Kedusha in this world. When Mashiach will come, there will be a new dosage of creativity of Kedusha that comes down to the world, which you can encapsulate in the 39 categories of labor. But Hai Tana Be'eretz Yisrael Koi. And in Eretz Yisrael, there are really 40 categories of labor. There are 39 from Zeriah and onward. But there's another malacha. There's another hidden malacha. And that's the harisha, the plowing of the earth, which is the development of the earth, which comes before the Zeriah. So if you would want to say a drush, that the Zeriah, which I'm sure we can find source that Mashiach is going to be defined in terms of Zeriah, from Zeriah and onward, everything that's happening in Eretz Yisrael now, the incredible development, is together the Harisha Koidem the Zeriah. If you want to speak more other Zionistic terms, you could say that we're already past that state. The coming of Mashiach will be the Gemar. And already the development of Eretz Yisrael already passed the state of Zeriah. What then is the significance of a day of celebrating the establishment of the state of Israel? What really is the significance of today? Think about it. Whether you want to focus on religious, not religious, is that
gracious?
Okay, if you want to work with this approach, I'm not chayin chanami. I am part of the Torah. If you gracious smichas, right? Smichas. If you want to say that we're already past, what then are you focusing on? When you focus on the beginning, today or this day is we reflect that a state was established. Do you know how much effort, how much sacrifice, how much planning, how much blood was spilled to come to this state, to come to that point in time where there was an establishment? When you begin, when you focus on, you reflect upon the Haskala, on the Zeriah, Hazoyrim Bedima Berina Yiktsaru, right? It's a pasuk, another pasuk. He planned Bedima. Hazoyrim Bedima Berina Yiktsaru. But Hai Tana Be'eretz Yisrael Koi. And in Eretz Yisrael, the Zacharisha Lithnei the Zeriah, and the Zacharisha Liachar the Zeriah. When you come to the moment of Hazoyrim Bedima, you lay the cornerstone, you put the seeds, you focus on the beginning. Don't forget about the Harisha that came before the Zeriah. Don't forget about the sacrifice, the planning, the effort, the emuna that went into the Harisha lifnei the Zeriah. And that has just as much significance. Because there are arboyim melachos, chaser achas. We can't go. We have to differentiate between the fourth Zeriah and after the Zeriah. It's all one category. But Hai Tana be'eretz Yisrael koi. And that's why the order is for Zeriah and Harisha to allude. Don't forget about the Harisha lifnei the Zeriah. So just I think it's a very powerful word, this idea to remember. There's a Zeriah. and Achinami. When in history, there are many layers of history, many layers of interpretation of when you want to focus on the moment of Zriya. Is the Zriya was, the Zriya will be, whatever the Zriya is. But there's a Charish Lefnei the Zriya. And there are many Charish Lefnei the Zriya, and those count just the same. And those have to be appreciated and reflected upon and preserved and elevated and celebrated. This concludes our...
You say the Zriya.